Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know. God is on the move today.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another Sunday Night Live. We are so glad that you have joined us tonight. I actually have Dr. Sharp here with me, and I'm really excited to hear from him. Once again, one of our favorites. How are you, Dr. Sharp?
I'm doing fine, Natalie, and you?
I'm doing well. Just living the dream.
Amen.
Living the good life, with the Lord.
Amen. It's right now the time is not to be without the Lord.
That's exactly right. And that's, actually last week, we talked a little, I had a show about, everything that's going on in Israel. And one of the things is we as Christians, that are in covenant with God, we don't have to worry about what's going on in the world and around the world, because we are not of this world, but we are of the kingdom of God, and we can walk in that peace. And so when I say I'm living a good life, I'm living a good life no matter what, because God's with me.
Amen. It's amazing to see how many people today are walking in just pure fear. I've had so many people ask me about, is this World War III? And, they're just living in fear. They've been living in fear for some time. The globalists are trying everything they can to bring us into total captivity. And their biggest weapon is fear. Fear of pandemics, fear of shortages, food shortages, no electricity, no this, no that. Their desire is to bring us into total captivity. And what most people don't realize is we've been in captivity for some time. And they've just been ruling and controlling over us. And basically, God's fed up with it. And he's doing something about it.
That's right. I'm sorry, go ahead.
As I've looked at what's going on, and of course I try to stay away from the news media, because of course they're the primary propaganda arm of the globalists. NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, all of those, I do not listen to those, because they're fear mongers. They're doing everything they can to help out with the globalists to bring us into captivity. And what people don't realize is the church's greatest enemy. They desire to shut the church down. When we had COVID, they allowed bars and things like this to stay open, but they tried to shut down churches. And churches that stayed open, they wound up arresting the pastors and all these things. And, and of course God has vindicated them all, but, it's just the fear I see in the body of Christ. You know, the world, that's not unusual. But the body of Christ should be the less fearful of all people. Yet I'm seeing born-again Christians that are walking in fear of what's going on. You know, I'm of the opinion that I was put on this earth for such a time as this. This is the greatest time to be alive right now. God is doing the greatest thing that we have ever known.
Mm-hmm.
He is exposing evil, you know, and the scriptures tell us that there everything is going to be exposed.
That's,
you know,
right.
God is doing everything, and you can see what's going on. There's things that are being exposed. Matthew 10, I'll give you the scriptural basis for this. It's, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. And we're finding mm-hmm. things out that are totally shocking. You know, the child trafficking, women trafficking, murders and things of this that have been going on for years and years and years. And God is exposing all of it. And mm-hmm. the result of all of this is going to be the greatest move of God that we've ever seen.
That's,
you know, we
right.
should rejoice at what we're seeing over in Israel. If you look back, every time Israel had a war, it was followed by a great move of God. 67, 73, 48, all of those years were followed by a great move of God. And this move we've been talking about for several years now, this is preceding the greatest move God has ever done on planet Earth. So you can be fearful if you want to. I'm rejoicing. God is on the move. God is doing great things. I have chosen to walk in peace and joy instead of fear. I reject fear. It's not of God. The word says that we've not been given a spirit of fear, but of love and joy and peace and a sound mind. And, you know, I choose to walk in that instead of the fear the world's trying to bring on us.
Yes, and I like how you said you choose. You choose that because we can get into a when you're hearing all of those things from different angles and different people. And like you said, we have some news media that just cannot be trusted that do want to pour fear into us. But we mm-hmm. have to choose to believe what we're going to believe. And if you go back to the fact that we are not of this world, but we are in this world. Now, yes, we live here and we have to operate and work and do those things, but we live by the kingdom,
amen.
The laws of the kingdom, not of the laws of the world. And we have to choose to believe that.
Amen.
And
there's nothing that God hasn't given us, but we have to choose to take it.
That's right.
You know, a lot of the places where the word talks about receive this or receive that, we've watered that down. It's almost like we sit there like a little sparrow waiting for mama to stick something in my mouth. But we have to choose it. You know, mm-hmm. I've been given power and authority. I can lay hands on the sick. I can perform signs and wonders and miracles. I've done all those things. Not like I'm going to in the future, because that's one of the things that's going to be loosed the most is miracles. But, you know, he's told us that we can do these. But if you just sit there like the little sparrow waiting to fall in your lap, it's already been given. It's already ours. We must choose to take it. And like I said, many times where the word talks about receive, it's not the word receive, it's the word take. And basically, it means to aggressively grab it and take it as mine.
Yes.
You know, if you want to walk in power, take it.
Yes.
If you want to walk in the gifts of the Spirit, take it. You want to walk with healing, take it. You want to be healed, take it. It's all been provided. He said he's given us everything necessary for life and godliness. It's already there. It's already done. God is not in the process of doing things. He's already done the things. And it's up to us to grab hold of it and take it as mine.
Yes, and you, and then you were talking about this fear that has actually been over several years now, that we've had this fear that has been trying to come on us, and I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that scripture that says that the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, powers, darkness of the world. I know I'm paraphrasing it, I didn't get it right, but basically that it's a spiritual battle.
Absolutely. You know, Satan himself is behind this. But see, Satan can do nothing except through a man. He has no authority. Man has that authority. And he will use people. And, you know, the people that are doing this stuff are pawns in the hands of Satan. So the one that you come against is not the people, it's Satan. Satan is driving this. Satan was driving abortion. Satan is driving war. He is doing that, but he has to use people to accomplish what he wants. And I've chosen he's not going to use me.
That's right. And so there we go. We're talking about another choice.
Mm-hmm. I choose to walk in peace and joy instead of fear. And my wife used to have a teaching she taught, and once in a while I'd force her to preach for me. But she had this message on fear, and she had an acrostic for it. Fear is false evidence appearing real. You know, mm-hmm. And we've been receiving false evidence. You know, we were told that we have to wear a mask. Now, research is showing that the mask virtually did nothing. They did nothing. The percent chance of it helping were less than 1%. You know, and then we got to have the vaccine. You got to have the vaccine. It turns out that if you had COVID, your antibodies were better and stronger than those that took the vaccine, and the vaccine didn't keep you from getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's caused more harm. There's probably more people died of the vaccine than did of COVID. We've had people right here in Perryton that died the day after they had the shot.
Wow.
So, you know, if you listen to true science, not the false science they were throwing at us, you know, it's debunking nearly everything they were telling us. You know, they wanted us to wear masks and wear them all the time. And research shows that wearing a mask full time lowers your immune system and makes it easier to catch COVID. So, you know, don't let them push you into something because of fear. You have to stand your spiritual ground.
That is so good because, you know, how many times, you know, not just in the things that's going on in the world, but in our own personal life, when things happen and we're afraid of what's going to happen or what might happen, and it causes us to make rash decisions that mm-hmm. that God never intended for us to go because we were thwarted and we were blinded by that fear.
Well, fear is the opposite of faith. Well, actually, it is faith. It's faith in the devil. It's faith in evil. It's faith in the bad. I choose not to believe in what the devil can do to me. I'm a born-again child of the Most High God. He has no authority over me. He has no power over me. That if he does, it's because I let him.
Mm-hmm.
And walking in fear is the best way to let Satan rule and control in your life. And,
you know,
I expect the world, but not the church. But the church has been so pampered, and the gospel has been so watered down that no one is walking in the faith that God wants us to walk in.
That's right, and it makes me think of Daniel in the lion's den. You know, he's like, he goes to the lion's den, and he comes out not even smelling like smoke. Because he wasn't afraid, and he knew that his God was going to take care of him.
Yeah, you know, and there's so many people that you start talking about fear and everything, that for some reason they always bring up Job. What about Job? He was a believer. Well, actually, Job opened the door for all of the calamities, because towards the end of Job, he confessed. He said, "The thing I feared the most has come upon me." You walk in fear, you're opening the door for what you're fearing. And see, he was walking in fear. He made sacrifices every morning, concerned that his kids were going to be, something bad was going to happen to them. And he confessed, he said, that fear is what caused all of this. But if you read the end of the book, he wound up better off than he was before all of it happened.
That's right.
But you cannot walk in fear and expect the goodness of God to land in your lap. It's not going to happen. You've got to get into the Word. You know, and, you know, the more fear you're walking in, the less love you're walking in. Because, you know, there's no fear in love. 1 John 4:18 says there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. In other words, you can be a born-again believer and not made perfect in love if you're walking in fear. And it's also an indication of how little word is in the people. The majority of the church has no clue what God wants to do. They're operating under the spirit of this world. There's pastors that are refusing to preach the truth because they're afraid they're going to lose their money for the people. You know, they're not standing up and saying, this is what God says. We have authority. Most churches don't even touch the subject of authority of the believer. They never touch the fact that believers can lay hands on the sick and see them get well. They don't ever touch the fact that believers can cast out devils and perform signs and wonders and miracles. And I think the last time I was on this show, I said, if you're going to a church like that, that's not church, and you need to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Word says there was going to come a church that would have a form of godliness, but they would deny the power thereof. And he says, flee from that. We had a man visit our church the other day, and I won't tell you what church he was going to. It's one of your popular denominational churches. But after he heard the message on faith and what we can do because of grace and miracles and signs and wonders, he said, you know, all my life I've been playing church. I didn't realize this was even real, you know, and there's a lot of people that are going through the motions of Christianity, and they're walking according to the world and not the Word. You need to get in the Word. The more Word you have, the less fear you're going to have.
And I really like the fact that you said that we have authority,
mm-hmm.
and we don't realize we have that authority. We have it. We just don't use it if you're not educated about it.
Right. See, when Adam and Eve, when they basically bowed their knee to Satan, in other words, they obeyed him and ate of the fruit, they handed the authority God had put within them, handed it over to the enemy. Jesus came and purchased that back, gave us the authority that Adam and Eve had in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said, Satan has no authority. All he can do is threaten. All he can do is accuse. All he can do is whisper false things to you. And if you believe it, he can work through you. You know, many of the sinister people in history, you know, Hitler and Mussolini and places like that, they allowed Satan to work through them. And mm-hmm. the globalists today are doing nothing that Hitler didn't do, because his desire was world rule. Their desire is world rule. And the reason they've been doing what they've been doing is because America and Israel are standing in their way of total world domination. And I personally believe they're not going to do it until the Lord actually comes and removes the church from this world. They're not going to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We're what's standing against the Antichrist from coming right now. You know, and a lot of people are saying, oh, this is the end. This is Revelation so-and-so. No, it's not time for that yet. Jesus is not coming back until the greatest move of God that's ever hit planet Earth happens.
And which I believe is now. I believe we're about to see that.
Absolutely.
And that God is about to be on the third great awakening, if we're not already going into that. I believe mm-hmm. that God is definitely on the move. And I believe that as people, as Christians, as believers, it is time for us to get serious about our relationship with the Lord and who we are in Christ, so
Amen.
That we can be a part of that move of God.
Amen. Yeah, you know, he's not coming back. The world in Acts, it says that he must be retained in heaven until the times of restitution of all things. In other words, Jesus cannot come back. He is prohibited from coming back until everything that the church lost over the years is restored. You know, and there are men and women standing in pulpits saying, God doesn't heal anymore. That's all past. Until that is done away with and the true gospel, the true word of God comes forth, that he is the same God yesterday, today, and forever, and that his people are as he is now. Until we start hearing that preached, Jesus can't come back. He's coming back for a victorious church. Not a wimp that's holding on to the end of the rope saying, please, Lord Jesus, come and get us. If you don't come, none of us are going to be left. No, he's coming back for a victorious, overcoming church without spot or wrinkle. The one that is going forth and doing the works that he told us to do. The ones that said that he said we can do his works and greater. You know, what did he do? Well, he opened blind eyes and deaf ears. He raised the dead. He caused people that couldn't walk to walk. He caused the blind to see, the deaf to hear. You know, and he says, those things you'll do. And until we see the church rising up and becoming the church, he's not coming back. He's not coming back for a rescue mission. He's coming back for a bride, a glorious bride that is doing everything that they were told to do.
Well, with that being said, do you think that with everything that's the new events that's going on in the world right now, do you believe that is a way or a window that's going to lead the church into that? That the church is going to, preach the gospel, and that is going to open the door
Absolutely.
For signs, wonders, and miracles to happen, and that the people will see that and truly turn to God.
Right. And like I said, when we first started talking, what excites me so much about what's going on in Israel is every time Israel has had a war since 1948, 67, 73, every time that happened, there was a great move of God, and they've just been attacked. So get ready, church. Get ready, world. The move of God is on.
That's right. Well, Dr. Sharp, I'm a little upset with you right now.
Why?
Well, earlier when I was talking about Daniel in the lion's den, and I said he didn't come out smelling like smoke.
I heard that.
I had two stories on one, and you didn't even call me on it.
Well, I didn't want to embarrass you. I said, it wasn't smoke. That was the three Hebrew children.
I know it. So I'm thinking about Daniel and the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Them together.
Yes, I did. Well, I tell you what, anytime I ever get confused on my Bible stories, please do step up and say something, because you know what? I never want to be somebody that shares anything that is false and would lead anybody to think other than what the Word says. So, yeah, that's why I got a little upset with you. You're supposed to let me know.
I'm sorry. I'll let you know. You mixed them up.
I mixed them up bad. Well, I knew when you paused there for a minute, you're like, I don't know what to say about that. Okay, but I do know about Job.
Yeah, I tried to change the moment there.
Hey, that was a good save. See, that's why we got to keep having you on the show, so you can save the host whenever she makes a mistake.
Well, you know, I know we're all human.
Ain't that the truth? And I'm definitely someone that you can look at to see that, yeah, I'm just human. We make mistakes.
Yeah, I've done that before preaching and listened to the CD afterwards and go, where did that come from? That wasn't right.
I know. I've done that before, too. Oh, goodness. But, you know, going back to talking about fear, I think about fear, and I think about Christians, and I love that you pointed out that, well, you said fear was opposite of faith, but then you said, no, you said fear is not faith. But then, no, you said fear was faith in the devil.
Right.
And so I can just be thinking that, you know, and I know this is not an excuse, but I want this to be an encouragement to our listeners that a lot of times we've always been in fear. We've had fear all around us. We don't know anything other than fear. And it's time for us to lay that fear down and trust and believe God. So what would you tell someone that says, I really struggle with fear and I don't know? I mean, like, this is not just normal fear, but this is fear that I'm stuck in fear.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's different types of fear. There's the fear of what you've heard, but there is a spirit of fear. And you have authority over that thing. Have you ever had that time where the hair on the back of your neck stood up and something just overwhelmed you with fear?
Mm-hmm.
That's a spirit. And you have authority over that. Back in the 80s when I was in a car wreck, both my legs crushed below the knees, and I had been walking in great faith then, but I went to the hospital. I stayed in the hospital from November through the first week of January. When I came home with some baggage that I didn't go in there with. I would have fear attacks, panic attacks. And I got to where I would literally speak to it. I said, no fear, in the name of Jesus, I command you, leave me. And it'd leave, because it's a spirit. There is a spirit of fear over America right now. You speak to it. You command that thing to cease and desist. It has to obey the Christian, because you have the authority to make it obey. And it knows it. But see, one of Satan's greatest ploys is to keep us dumb. to keep us ignorant of the word and to feed us with things that are false doctrines. You know, because the Bible talks about doctrines of devils and doctrines of men. And there's some doctrines of devils that are being preached in pulpits today. You know, God hasn't stopped healing. God hasn't stopped miracles. God hasn't stopped the gifts of the Spirit. He hasn't stopped these things. It's doctrines of devils and men that have stopped these things. And if you have to get into the Word, and you have to be hearing the Word. It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the tense of that hearing is continuous hearing. Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And I had a guy ask me one time when I said this, well, how long do we have to hear it? And I said, how long do you plan on being on planet Earth? You need to be constantly hearing the good news. It's not good news that healing doesn't happen today. It's not good news that you're supposed to be poor. It's not good news that you're just a poor old dark-hearted worm. It's not good news that God doesn't prosper us anymore. It's good news that He can save, He can heal, and deliver us. And He's put those things within us. And we're to go forth and do the mighty works of God. And if we're not doing that, we're not going to be walking in anything but the world and fear and what the world has been feeding us. I choose not to believe the garbage that comes out of a lot of the churches today. I've found a church that's preaching the good news. I've found a church that's preaching the power of the Word of God. I've found a church that is preaching that we need to be disciples, learners, going forth and doing everything, finding out everything about Jesus and then finding out everything about me because of what Jesus has done. He fulfilled everything and then gave it to us and told us before He left, He said, the things that I do, you'll do and greater. And He put His faith in us. You know, the faith movement had one thing that was wrong. Said you can build your faith. No, you can't build your faith because it's not your faith to begin with. It's the faith of Jesus. And some of the newer translations have made a gross error by saying it's faith in Jesus. It's not. It's the faith of Jesus. I have the faith of Jesus. I have the faith of God. And that's why I can do what He says I can do. If He says I can lay hands on the sick, you better believe I can do it because He said I can do it and He put all of the equipment in me to be able to perform it. I believe His word, therefore I go do His word. Faith without works is dead. In other words, faith without corresponding actions is dead. In other words, your faith's not working. If you're not doing the word, you're walking in a worthless faith.
I really like how you, the word really just stuck out when you're talking about that scripture that greater works will we do. That word greater just really stuck out to me because when I think as Christians, we think about Jesus and the things that he did on his, here on the earth, those were some great miracles. And to think about he's given us the authority to do even greater.
Right.
And so.
See, there was a lot of things that Jesus couldn't teach. Because, see, he operated under the old covenant. He couldn't teach us about grace. You know, that
he was grace.
He was grace, but he couldn't teach it.
Or he is grace, yeah.
You know who he gave it to teach? Paul.
Us.
Paul was teaching the unuttered messages that Jesus could not preach because Paul was in the new covenant. Jesus operated in the old. We are freer to do things that Jesus wasn't free to do. And so, oh, well, he was God. No, he operated as the Son of Man. His insides was pure. His insides was God. but he operated on earth as the Son of Man. Matter of fact, he called himself that, the Son of Man. And he demonstrated what he could under the old covenant. But we're under a better covenant. We're under a freer covenant. We're under a more powerful covenant. We can do the things he did and actually do greater. You know, he was just one man. He can only function as one man. But we're functioning as the church. Or let's put it this way, should be operating as the church. And as his body goes forth around the world, there's greater things happening because Jesus could only perform them where he was at.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's all over the world in his body. He's the head, but we're the hands. We're the feet. We're his eyeballs. We're his ears. We're everything he has need of to perform what he couldn't on earth. He could perform miracles here in this spot or in this spot, but we're all over the world. And when the church works, wakes up and becomes the church, we're going to see things that will literally hair lip hell. Hell
so,
is doing its best to keep us dumb because it knows when the church wakes up, they're done.
That's right. That's right. And so I really want to encourage our listeners that wherever that you are at in your walk with Christ, we just pray that you are drawing in even more to him. I believe God's calling us to a time of, you know what, it's time to go deeper. It's time to go deeper. And even some of us that think that we're already deep, you know what, it's time to go deeper. There's more. It's time to draw into him like never before.
Oh, yeah, we need to have Paul's attitude. He said, I have not attained. Dear Lord, if Paul hadn't attained, then what do I got?
Mm-hmm.
This guy wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He started churches all over the known world, you know, and yet he said, I still have not attained the fullness of what God has for me. And, you know, of course, we won't be that complete until we meet him face to face. But there's
That's
a lot
right.
more we can be doing than we're doing right now.
That's
you know,
right.
This whole thing that has put the church to sleep and all you got to do is be a sweet little darling and go to church, pay your tithes, then everything's okay. That's not right. It's not okay. It's not okay that you're not winning the lost. It's not okay that you're not laying hands on the sick. It's not okay that you're not performing signs and wonders and miracles. That's not okay. What is okay is a person that goes about his world doing what Jesus told us to do.
Oh, yes. And you said his world. Like wherever you're at in your world, if I'm hearing you correctly, wherever you're at in your world, you're taking Jesus there with you.
Absolutely. It's your world, your circle, where you're at. That's your world. You know,
yeah,
Matthew
and I think
says go into all the world, all of your world.
Yes. I think so many times, and I know we've talked about this on previous shows, but as believers, we do. I think sometimes as believers, we go to church, we pay our tithes, we do what we're supposed to do, and we go to work and do those things, but everything else is left up to the pastor. He's the one that's supposed to be praying for people. He's the one that's supposed to visit the sick. He's the one who's supposed to do, or she, whoever it is. But the pastor is supposed to be the one.
No. The pastor is our trainer. Ephesians 4:11 says he gave the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher for the equipping of the body of Christ for the work of ministry. The work of ministry is the congregation. The pastor's the trainer of the congregation. The congregation should win the loss. The congregation should be getting the sick healed. You know, in our church, if someone has a problem, a physical problem, pastor will ask, are there any believers in the house? You know, 10, 15, 20 people surround that person and start praying and bring healing to them. That's
awesome.
That's the purpose of the pastor. and the pastor should be bringing in the rest of the fivefold ministry to help fully equip the body of Christ for the ministry we're called to. You know, that scripture has been misread and misquoted for generations. It says they gave the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints, and that word perfecting should be equipping of the saints. And then his second job is the work of ministry. No, he is to perfect the saints, or to equip the saints for work of ministry. If your pastor's not equipping you to lay hands on the sick, win the lost, and perform signs and wonders and miracles, he's not your pastor. He's just a caretaker of your church. He's just a hireling. And I know that sounds tough, but it's time the church got tough. There's some tough love that needs to come out and set some people free. If you're sitting in the church that is saying that these things don't happen anymore, get out of there. Now, I know that sounds harsh, but it's true. If you're not hearing the full gospel, all of the word of God.
So, you know, that makes me think of that we, as, you know, talking about being in the church, that we're supposed to go out into our world and make disciples.
Yeah, it's our responsibility to be discipled. You know, so many people think going to church is it, but it's not. We are to be discipled. We're to be a student of the Word of God, finding out who we are, what we have, and what we can do because of what Jesus did. Amen?
Right. Amen.
And if we're not doing that, if all you're doing is going to church to get your brownie points, believe me, God does not operate on brownie points. Going to church is a time of learning not only about Jesus, but what Jesus has done, so that you can go out and perform what he told you you could do. You know, if you're not being discipled, if you're not being taught these things, you are in the wrong place. And, you know, I'm not going to apologize for saying that. I know those people get upset about that, but we are to be disciples. He said, make disciples. He didn't say make converts. He said, make disciples. Those that are finding out, you've got to find out what Jesus did. But not only find out what he did, who he did it for. You know, we say that the Bible is all about Jesus. Well, it is all about Jesus. But why did Jesus come in the first place? You are the reason he came. And he came and purchased back everything that Adam and Eve lost. He came back to make us victorious. He came back to make us like him, not only in character, but in action. And now I work not to get his favor. I work because I have his favor. I go and do these things not to show that I can get into heaven. I do these things because I'm already there. The kingdom is already dwelling within me. You know, he taught the disciples how to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So many Christians are waiting for all these things when they get there. Well, first place, you're not going to need healing when you get there. We need it here. You're not going to need deliverance up there. You're not going to need prosperity up there. My goodness, they paved the roads with gold.
That's right.
You know, and waiting until you get to the sweet by and by is a waste of time. He designed these things for here in the dirty now and nasty. You know, it's for now that he's provided healing. It's now he's provided deliverance. It's now he's provided prosperity for us. You know, if you really look at it, he desired for us to be wealthy. Why? So we can go out and buy pink Cadillacs and speedboats? No. So that we can build churches and go out and win the lost and heal the sick and perform everything he's told us to. you know, this old poverty mentality is not Bible. You know, and people will misquote the word and say, well, you know, money is the root of all evil. No, it's not. It's the love of it that's the root of all evil. So we need to get our...
Yeah, that becomes your focus.
Yeah. We've got to get our scriptures right.
That's right. And so what are we focusing on? You know, we're talking about fear. We're talking about, you know, going out and doing and being Jesus, the hands and feet of Jesus. Mm-hmm. But, you know, well, what was the last thing you were just saying? Because I actually had something to say in response to that, and I know I interrupted you, but...
Well, our focus has to be the Word. And, of course, you say, well, it's got to be Jesus. Well, Jesus is the Word. That's what John 1 says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word basically was God. And in the 14th verse there it says, and he became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory thereof. You know, he is the Word. So you're focusing on the Word, you're focusing on him. But you're also finding out what he did. He didn't just purchase our ticket to heaven. He purchased the ticket to get heaven into us, to get him in us. You know, to you know, so many people say, oh, come, Lord Jesus, get us out of here. He's not wanting to get us out of here. He's wanting to get more of him in us. He's wanting his power and his glory to be manifest through us. And this move we've been talking about, that's the purpose of it. It's going to be a glory move. And within the glory is the power. Everything that God has loosed upon this earth because of Jesus going to the cross and then Jesus going in the lowest pit and then conquering Satan and destroying everything that he's done and then raising him from the dead. And Jesus, the only person that's died and rose again to probate his own will. You know, he's alive now. He's interceding for us that we'll be able to fulfill what he's done through him to us. Then he wants to work through us.
That reminds me of the what I was wanting to say earlier is going back to focus. That's the word I was looking for, is our focus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when
right.
you're in fear, you're focusing on what fear is telling you.
Right.
When you focus on the Word of God, you're going to focus on what God's Word is telling you. And
mm-hmm.
so... I was just wondering if you would pray for our listeners that maybe their focus has gotten off and their focus that they've been focusing on fear and they've not been focusing on the Word, but God still loves them. And I just would wonder if you would just pray for our listeners.
Sure. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I first of all lift you up. I glorify you. I praise you. I thank you for everything that you've done for us. And I thank you, Lord, for the things that you've put in us. And Lord, I come against the spirit of fear that has been operating in Christians. It's to be expected of the world, but not the church. So I come against that spirit of fear. And Lord, I ask that the eyes of their understanding be fully open to know who they are. Because of what Jesus has done. Know that they are a child of the Most High God. They're not to be manipulated by the world and the world system and by the devil, but they are to be followers of the Most High God, and they're to be world changers. And Lord, I just thank you that everyone that is hearing this prayer is set free from fear. And that the eyes of their understanding can know, they'll be able to know who they are, what they have because of Jesus, and then what they can do because of what Jesus has provided for them. And Lord, I thank you that the church is waking up. The church is becoming the church. The
mm-hmm.
church is becoming everything that God has called us to be, and that we will be the hands and feet of Jesus. We will go forth. We will set the captives free. We will heal the sick. We will see the lost come in. And Lord, it's been prophesied that this move that's coming, that has already started, will literally bring in billions, with a B, billions of people into the kingdom. And we thank you that we're already seeing the early stages of it. We're seeing the ripple of it start to grow, and it'll grow from just a ripple to a mighty wave to a great tsunami of the power and glory of God that is right on the around the corner. And we thank you that things are being done. Evil is being exposed and stopped. And we thank you that your glory is going to be widespread, worldwide, over this whole world. We thank you that the glorious movement has started, and we receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so I just want to encourage our listeners, like what you prayed, like never before, you draw into Christ. And if you're in a church that you feel like that you're not being discipled in the things of Christ, we just encourage that you go and you find a church that you can be taught to do those things. And we pray that that you, if you're not in a local church, to go and go to a local church. And with that being said, Dr. Sharp, you're from Perryton, and do you want to share a little bit about your church and where you guys are at?
Yes, we're here in Perryton. I forgot the address now, but Pastor Marlon Sparks, he's our pastor, tremendous word teacher, and we're having people healed and saved all the time. We have two discipleship classes. I teach one on Sunday evenings at 5 o'clock, and then we have another one that's taught by Doug Reeves on Wednesday, where we actually have free supper. Come and get a free meal at 5:30. Then at 6:30, Doug starts teaching, and he's teaching on grace and faith. I've been teaching on You've Already Got It, and we're teaching Bible courses from Karis Bible College in Colorado, and it's just absolutely fantastic. We're seeing people come alive in Jesus, becoming everything they've been called to be. It's really exciting. So our church is Victory Family Church. Matter of fact, Pastor Marlon is on Sunday mornings and then Wednesday evenings. You can look him up, Marlon Sparks Live, or victoryfamilychurch.com or .org or whatever. And if you don't have a church or a way of getting here, you can at least be hearing the word, the pure word of God being preached, a powerful word, not just a feel-good sermon, but it's a powerful word that is setting people free.
That's right. And so we want to thank you so much, Dr. Sharp, for being on the show and sharing with us and giving us some revelation on that fear. And so I just want to remind our listeners again that just, you know, draw into God like never before. And we pray that you have a blessed evening and a blessed week. And we're going to sign off for now because we are out of time, Dr. Sharp. And so we're going to say good night, everybody.
God is on the move.